Welcome back to the Cinebros podcast. It's got Luke and Ray here with me again. Luke, Ray?
Hola.
Hello.
Luke, me and you are going to be debating today. Would you like to tell the audience what we're going to be debating?
Tyler, I would love to, my man. So, we're going to be talking about the 2017 surprise box office hit musical, The Greatest Showman.
Yes, we are. I love this movie, and Luke, unfortunately, does not.
Yeah, I actually hate this movie.
Yeah, we are interested to hear why Luke hates it, and I will try to defend it as well as I can. Ray will be moderating this debate. Ray, would you like to tell the audience, if they haven't listened before, how our debates typically go?
The debate will go off of five rounds. We'll start with an opening argument from the two. Then we will go into the round one, which will be writing round. Round two will be the directing round. And round three will be the acting. And then we will finish it off with the closing argument from both.
All right. So which one of us would like to start first?
Tyler, I would like you to start first.
You would like me to start first? Okay. I would be honored to start first. So this is a movie. Now, as a little background, prior to me meeting my girlfriend, I hated musicals. I did not enjoy musicals. I didn't like musical songs. So it was very rare for me to actually really want to go see a musical in the theater. But after I saw the trailer for this movie, I was like really, really interested in it. I thought it looked really good. The cast is obviously stellar. It's got Hugh Jackman, Zendaya, Zac Efron, etc. And they're all great, first of all. The songs are really catchy. But what really caught me was just how kind of different it looked from most musicals. The directing was really good. It looked relatively engaging plot-wise. And then once it actually came out, you know, people that went to go see it absolutely loved it. So I decided I would give it a try, and then I saw it, and I really, really loved it. You know, I found myself playing the songs in the musical for about a year after the fact. I thought they were that good. And keep in mind, at this point, I never really did that. This was the first musical whose music I actually wanted to listen to after I watched it. And This Is Me, the most well-known track from the musical, is really, really good lyrically. Does a real good job of getting its message across, and I think it's really uplifting for the audience to hear it. And that's really what I'm going to say for my opening argument right now, is that this movie, despite being a musical, I thought was really good. So it is a musical that I think can be enjoyed by anybody who doesn't typically like musicals. It is very well acted. It is very well written. The songs are fantastic and catchy. The message is good. It's very fun to watch, which is something I can't say for a lot of musicals. Luke?
Okay, Tyler. Pretty good argument. I basically disagree with everything you just said.
Can I say one last thing?
Sure. Yeah.
And I feel like you're about to use in one of these rounds, I don't know which one it is, but I feel like you're probably going to make the argument that the movie itself is not good because P.T. Barnum was a horrible person and it glorifies him. But let's be real. If you are going to make the argument, let's not pretend like you knew that fact before you saw the movie.
Okay. Well, fair enough. So, again, guys, Tyler, I think he's completely wrong. Love the guy, obviously. But I think he's wrong about this movie, totally. For one, I am kind of similar to Tyler in the sense that, you know, I used to not be very much into musicals at all. I actually like quite a bit of them now. They're not my favorite genre of movie by any means, but I like a decent amount of them. But to me, there's a reason that everybody typically most of the general audiences like this movie is because it is the most like surface level, watered down version of the story you can tell. Now, like Tyler said, yeah, P.T. Barnum was a bad person, but here's the thing, right, is that story, even though he's a bad person, is an interesting story. If you actually go and read about it, there's some pretty interesting stuff that happens. I won't get into total detail because I'd like the audience to kind of look up that stuff for themselves, because I think it is interesting to read about. And it would have made for a much better story than this. Probably not nearly as much of a feel-good story as this one, but it just takes this guy and waters down his life. It turns him into this the most – this story is the most generic rags to riches. You know, a guy is born in a lowly situation, you know, not a lot of money, but he aspires for greatness. And he pursues his dream at the cost of everything, right? He loses his wife and kids at one point because, you know, all this stuff is happening. And it starts to take a toll on him mentally at point. And it's just so, it's so generic. Like, there's been a million movies that follow almost every beat of this plot. I understand that a musical is meant, you know, to kind of showcase the songs, but some of the best musicals of all time, like Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis, which Tyler, I know you love and I do too. The great thing about those stories is there's nothing really generic about those tales, right? It tells a really interesting story with characters that you'd like to root for, not because they cast a good looking person in the lead role that makes you want to root for them. I'll talk about this more in the writing round, but Hugh Jackman being cast as P.T. Barnum was literally just because they wanted to take this guy who in real life was a bad person, and they thought, well, and they don't write him as a good person either. I would argue that in this movie, he's not a very good person. Again, he does this with little regard for his wife and his children and everything that he's putting in danger, even though he, you know, I think a lot of this stuff can be seen as him putting on a front of being this loving, caring guy. I feel like most of what he's doing is just to kind of serve his dream, his honestly kind of selfish dream that he has. And just casting Hugh Jackman in the role doesn't make me like the character. So I don't think the main character is compelling. I think this is a very generic, watered down plot. All kinds of, I mean, it follows like the most basic story beats of like a rags to riches type story. I mean, literally, there's been tons of things that I've seen that follow this exact same template. And yeah, the songs are good. Obviously, the songs are good, right? And I'm sure Tyler will make the argument that that's the point of a musical. But in my opinion, this is a film, first and foremost, right? It's not a Broadway production. It's a film. And as a film, I think it fails narratively. I think some of the acting is off. I'll get into that a little later on. Most of it's good, but there's a little bit of the acting that's off. I think it has unlikable characters, and I just think it takes this pretty interesting real-life story and just waters it down for a commercial audience. It takes all kinds of artistic licenses, and yeah, just not a fan of this movie at all. But that's the end of my argument.
Can I ask you something, Luke, before we get going?
Yeah.
Do you think that you would like this movie more if it was a recording of a stage production, kind of like the Hamilton movie was?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Yeah, I could see liking that a little bit more.
Like if the writing was the same, songs were the same, actors were the same, but it was made for a stage and recorded, would you like it more?
To me, even though there's a lot of similarities, I feel like those are two pretty different mediums. So I feel like it would work purely as like a musical. Right. But as a film, I think it fails. As a film, I expect a little bit more of the writing.
Interesting.
Out of the writing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good arguments from both of you in round one, or opening argument, whatever you want. We're going to go into round one now. And Luke, you're going to be starting.
Okay. So to start getting to the writing round, I mentioned P.T. Barnum and Hugh Jackman quite a bit in my opening argument, so I'll just start off talking about him. So like I said, right, P.T. Barnum starts off the movie as a kid. Him and his dad work for this wealthy family. You've seen it a million times. You know, the outcast boy falls in love with the wealthy family. Sometimes, in a lot of movies, he's even working for the family in this movie. So there's really, off the bat, there's nothing unique about this story, right? It's just very kind of cut and paste from other things you've seen before. And he falls in love with the girl of that family, but of course her parents don't approve and they think he's a low life and a degenerate and stuff like that. But the power of love gets them through it. And, you know, they get together and have a family, have a couple of kids, and he's just it just really puts a bad taste in my mouth, if I'm being honest with you, because again, his character, they want him to be so charismatic, and they cast arguably one of the most charismatic actors ever. Hugh Jackman is like a really good looking dude, a great actor, a great singer. And I've heard he's a fantastic person in real life, and he exudes likability. But the character that he's portraying, I just feel like he's written to be really selfish. Later on in the movie, especially, he's just written to be a little selfish when he goes on that tour with that Swedish, with that singer, right? And, you know, he lets it a while until he finally kind of rebuffs her advances. And that woman is mad at him for rebuffing her advances because she probably thought, oh, he's into me. Because if you were watching the movie up to that point, it totally looks like he was about to cheat on his wife with her. He totally looks into her and enamored by her. And a little part of him was, and I think it's supposed to be like a good moment for his character when he turns her down. He's like, no, I'm married. I'm rejecting your advances. But to me, I'm like, no, you're still a douchebag because you let this go on for so long. So right off the bat, the main character is not very likable. I understand his dream. Like, I get it. And I understand it's kind of relatable because people want to aspire to do things. I get it. You know, I mean, it's the typical American dream story. Tyler has talked about the American dream quite a bit in our Forrest Gump episode way back, which if you haven't checked it out, check that out. It's a good one. A little bit of self-promotion there. But yeah, it's just a very generic story. Tyler talks about how in that episode, you know, he's not a fan of the American dream and stuff, but he likes this movie. And this is almost more of a traditional picture of the American dream than Forrest Gump was. And so there's just a lot going on here that I don't like. P.T. Barnum is selfish. He basically neglects his wife and children to pursue this dream of being a showman to the point to where they leave him. And of course they reconcile at the end because happy ending, but I mean, come on. Also, like I said, generic story beats. There's a part where he's down on his, he's getting the gang together, right? And everything's going good. But then, oh no, he's down on his luck. And then it's funny because there's this movie called Sing. It's an animated movie that came out in 2016. And it's about a koala bear is the main character in that movie. And that koala bear, he's played by Matthew McConaughey, which is kind of funny. This movie takes so much from the plot of that film. It's ridiculous. They both started from nothing. They both wanted to be showmen. Right, the guy, the koala bear in that movie owns a theater. P.T. Barnum has a circus troupe that he wants to parade around. They kind of con people into following them, just like they both do. They're very mischievous, both of these guys are. And the theater gets destroyed in both, or you know, the place they perform at gets destroyed in both of these movies. In Sing, it gets like there's a big water leak or something, and it gets like destroyed by rubble. And in this one, it catches fire and burns down. And there's a scene in both of those movies where the main character is down on their luck. This is their lowest moment. And then without them doing anything, these people that P.T. Barnum did not treat very well before came, even including his wife and kids, come back to support him out of the blue. Why did he go to do anything to reconcile this with these people? No, they just do it because he's the main character of the movie, and we can't just have the ending of this movie be depressing. It's a fun musical movie. So, yeah, we'll just come back and support him now and be on his side again. Like, it just comes out of nowhere. Also, there's a little bit of a subplot with Zac Efron and Zendaya's characters. That's probably the best part of the movie, in my opinion. Those are probably my two favorite characters, I have to admit. But, again, it's taking this issue of an interracial couple, which I think is a great issue to explore. I really like social commentary in movies, and I just feel like it kind of waters that down. Like, you can be, I know it's supposed to be a fun musical movie for the family, but you can have some complex messaging in there. And I just feel like it takes this issue of interracial couples and it just kind of sidelines it, or it just kind of just waters it down. It just doesn't do much for me with it. There's so much more they could have done there, right? Especially with this time period, how racist and against interracial couples that people were in that time. They still are now, but, you know, even more so back then. And there's just a lot in this movie that there's a lot of missed potential. Like Tyler said, it's a great cast. The songs are good, but the writing to me is atrocious. The only character that I'm genuinely really like. It's probably, like I said, Zac Efron and Zendaya's characters. Other than that, I find them all to be unlikable or underwritten. The wife in this movie is a plot device. I know that sounds horrible, but they don't write her very well. She's just kind of used as a prop to further along P.T. Barnum's story, and she has no character of her own. So that's really my argument, guys. I mean, I know I kind of talked a lot, but that's just how I feel.
Tyler, I believe it's time for you to clap back, my friend.
And I will. Luke, let me start with asking you a question.
Okay.
Is the original Star Wars trilogy a well-written story?
Yes.
Okay, good. Have you heard of the hero's journey, Luke?
Well, how about this, Tyler? How long ago did those movies come out?
Those movies came out in the 70s and 80s, Luke.
They sure did. And when did this one come out?
This came out in 2017, right?
Yes, it did. And it does little to deviate from the typical hero's journey. So you just strengthened my argument, so I appreciate it.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. You know what? The hero's journey is like hundreds of years old. It goes back to Shakespeare. Star Wars doesn't deviate on it much either.
Well, I would disagree with you there, because at least Luke Skywalker has a little bit more complicated things going on with him. His motivations are a little bit more complicated than P.T. Barnum's. And he's not as selfish as P.T. Barnum. He starts out that way, but he has a character arc. P.T. learns nothing during the movie at all.
Nothing. Okay.
He starts off selfish and he ends selfish.
I completely disagree with you. So I have the hero's journey flowchart here pulled up, and I'm going to go through it by talking about plot points in the movie. Okay, so our start, right? We start when P.T. Barnum's a little kid, right? His call to adventure, right? He meets this young girl who he falls in love with, but because he's poor, he can't have her. So he works hard. He becomes something. He's never rich, but he becomes a working man, someone that is respectable in society. And he goes and he knocks on her father's door and says, "I am going to date your daughter." And the father, of course, does not approve. But you know what? The daughter, she loves him. So she decides to run off with him. And you know what? He decides he's going to start a circus because he thinks that is a good idea. Okay, next point, meeting a mentor. Okay, whether or not you consider his business partner, played by Zac Efron, a mentor or not, is up to debate, but that fits this arc in the hero's journey. Crossing the threshold, you can say that when they're recruiting their crew and after they have their first show. Trials and failure. Of course, it takes a while for them to, you know, get their show going. And when it does, we begin to see the character flaws of P.T. Barnum's character. You know, he is selfish. He is obsessed with money. He wants to succeed. He cares very little at this point in the movie for the people that work for him. And he cares even less, really, about his own family. I think he's convinced himself at this point in the movie that he's doing this for his family. But in reality, he's just driving them further away. So the trial and failure at this point, obviously, comes when he meets the singer, the exotic singer with the beautiful voice who kind of has a thing for him. And of course, she kisses him and a photograph is taken, which makes its way back to America because they're overseas at this point. Well, his wife sees it, you know, leaves him. And then, of course, Zac Efron, Zendaya, and the other crew are in a fire at the circus. And it's at this point in the movie where we begin to see his slow change kind of start to begin when he rushes into the fire to save Zac Efron. So the next point on the hero's journey is death and rebirth. You know, this in this movie, it is quite literal a death and rebirth as his circus, you know, his whole livelihood burns to the ground. So from this death comes the revelation, you know, when he, you know, is alone, he's broke, he's familyless, and, you know, he's getting drunk in the bar during the middle of the day when his old troop comes and basically makes him realize that he was a terrible person. He treated those people around him poorly, and it makes him like realize what an awful person he was. So of course he then has his atonement period where, you know, he goes and gets his family back, and, you know, he gets the gift, which is part of the Hero's Journey as well, from Zac Efron offering to help finance the new show when they move to their tent at the very end of the movie. And finally, he returns a changed man, a better man, who is less selfish, who cares more for his troop. He learns to appreciate, you know, what he has more than he did at the start of the movie. And then, of course, the movie ends. And that is how this movie fits into the hero's journey. You know, it's a tried and true method. It's been used since Shakespeare. And that's why I open with a Star Wars question. I know Luke doesn't think that this movie, you know, did anything innovative on the hero's journey, but when you have something that tried and true that is used in most, you know, movies like this, I don't think it needs to go, you know, too off the wall and try to innovate. I think it does a well-written, like well-paced, well-acted story, just fits within, you know, in your kind of generic template a little bit. And Luke, you did mention Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis when you were kind of talking about musical movie. And this movie is different from those movies. It can't be compared to those movies, I don't think, because while this movie is a musical, it is not like a mature musical. Like Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis are very mature musicals. Like Les Mis focuses on the death of like everybody in the musical. It's very dark, very mature. This movie is just supposed to be like a, you know, fun, family-friendly movie. And I think it's really entertaining. It is a true family movie. It can be enjoyed by anyone of all ages. And since this is the writing round, with a musical, even though this it is a musical movie, I think with a musical, when you're analyzing the writing, the thing you really have to analyze the most is the music of the musical. And I don't think anyone would disagree that the music in this musical is awesome. It's so catchy. And unlike most of these musicals, it gained like mainstream appeal. Like This Is Me was playing on the radio for ages. So was a few of the other songs. It helped they're performed by, like, you know, these big actors and actresses, but it really had a mainstream appeal that most musicals do not get. And it's because of that, I think you have to like look at the writing in this movie and say it's very good, because it obviously connected with the audience and connected with the mainstream more than most musicals do. And I think that really says something about how this movie was produced, how it was written, you know, how well they all did. And I don't think it's fair to critique a musical for the writing of a story and not how strong its music is, because I think that's the most important part of music. And I think that's my argument. I think I'm going to wrap it up there. Do you have anything else to say?
I would like to say something. Oh, go ahead, Luke.
Well, I just wanted to say, you mentioned the redemption part. Everything happens to him. He doesn't, like Luke Skywalker, he messes up big time at the end of episode 5. He's brash, he goes in headstrong, doesn't listen to his teachers, and he gets messed up pretty bad by Darth Vader and almost dies, right? And what does he do? He spends the time between movies training to be better and working at it and perfecting his craft. And he comes back in episode 6 as just a flat out OG Jedi master. P.T. Barnum, he doesn't realize his flaws until he is at his, and I get it, like he's at his lowest point. That's typical in the hero's journey. But everything else happens to him. When he goes to his wife, he doesn't have to, he put them through honestly a horrible time. He should have to do a lot more than just kind of show up. And she kind of just forgives him very quickly. Like there's no, that conflict is wrapped up pretty easily. And like I said, all these people that he did treat horribly before, the only reason that it works out is because they take pity on the guy, not because he becomes a better person. So he just happens to be saved by luck at the end. Luke Skywalker works to be better. P.T. Barnum, I think, just stays in the same place. So I don't think you could call that a redemption arc.
I mean, I think you can, because what's the last scene in the movie? The last scene of the movie is when P.T. Barnum leaves the circus early and he goes to watch his daughter's ballet recital with his wife. You know, that's a complete turnaround from this character at the start who was so completely self-absorbed with his work that he was pushing his family to the side. I think that last scene is meant to know that he has changed.
So one scene in the whole movie means he's changed.
But it's not just one scene, though. It's, you know, it's the journey. That last scene shows the journey he's taken. It shows the outcome. You know, we're kind of using the Star Wars trilogy as a example here, but like, you have to think, that's a trilogy. It has time to flesh out the journey more than just a lone, like, I don't think this movie is a full 2 hours. Like, you know, it's just, this movie has to do things a little bit more quickly, which means that it can't just like, it can't spend 20 minutes get showing his wife, like, taking the time to find it in her heart to forgive him.
It can.
It has to cut some corners somewhere.
I think it can show that. It can focus a whole lot more on him trying to be a better person than it does on just a couple songs. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. I get what you're saying, but I just don't agree.
And that's fair.
Ray, you were going to say something.
You guys are making this really hard on me. I was going to say something. Tyler was talking about like the writing of the music and stuff, and I've never really seen this movie. But I worked at a summer camp a couple years ago. I didn't work. I was a volunteer. And it was like a 4-day camp, and every day they would play the soundtrack from this movie. And I really liked the songs from it. And like, I feel like it was appropriate for every age. Like, I feel like adults could like it.
Yeah.
And like, at the same time, there were all a bunch of little kids there. So like, it was just appropriate for everyone. And like, I do agree with Tyler a little bit on the songs. Like, I think the songs are really good.
And like, you have to think, like, that's what this movie was trying to do. It was trying to be a family-friendly movie that the whole family could enjoy. And it got the mainstream appeal that most musicals don't. It connected with the audience, and it was really inspiring to those people that kind of feel like social outcasts and that they don't really fit in. Like, the song This Is Me is literally about accepting that and to find it in yourself that, like, you know, you can be, like, your own self. You don't have to be what other people want you to be. Like, you are special and you can like succeed in life despite it. And I think that's such an important message for like kids nowadays. And I really like that it got such appeal.
I know that I even said that the songs were good. I agree with you guys, right? That the songs in this movie are good. But to me, Tyler says it's a musical first. I don't agree with that. This was made a film. This isn't based on a previous property. It's not based off a musical. It's not based off a Broadway show. It is a film first, in my opinion. And the songs are good, but as a film, I just don't think it's written very well. The songs from this movie can stand alone without you seeing the movie, and you would get the message and understand it without having to see the movie. That's a fault of the music also, because if you listen to the songs in a musical, they need to have staying power like these songs do, but they also need to kind of tie back into the movie. And I just think you could hear the song This Is Me. All kinds of people heard the song This Is Me more than the amount of people that watched this movie. And I bet some people don't even realize that that song is from this movie. So I just don't agree that the songs tie into the movie. I think they're good songs on their own, but I don't think they tie into the movie well.
And see, this is just, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree, because to me, that's a strength of the movie, that the songs can stand by themselves.
Yeah, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Valerie hit the nail on the head there, I guess.
That's normally how it goes in these debates, isn't it?
Yeah.
But does anyone have anything further to add before we go to the directing?
I'm good, I think.
All right, well, Luke started last round, so Tyler, you'll start us off now.
Sure. Okay. So, for the directing, right? You know, this movie is about a circus. It is about P.T. Barnum's famous circus. And because of that, I think the directing in this movie is really fun. you know, there's a, it's a very much a technical kind of directing style required to make this movie, you know, as your camera is going to follow like trapeze artists and like, you know, people running around in circles as things kind of happen around them. It's very bright. It's very action packed and really just makes you want to keep your eyes glued to the screen as you're watching, you know, the circus unfold. Right. And even if we analyze the parts of the movie that aren't with the circus, I think it is a very competently directed movie. I think the cinematography is pretty good. I think, you know, lighting and stuff is really good. There's a few scenes that I think really stand out. Like, for example, the scene where it's early on in the movie as P.T. Barnum and his wife are on the roof with like their kids, you know, playing between sheets and stuff. I thought that was a very pleasant scene to look at. But overall, I think the strength in directing of this movie lies in the circus scenes, you know, the set pieces, and really trying to replicate what it's like to be at an actual circus. You know, there are multiple circus scenes in the movie, and when you combine it with the music and how you see the actors perform, I think the directing in this movie is really fantastic. There's a lot happening in this movie between like the acting, the singing, the circus, you know, and just getting all these little details working together, I think takes someone of relative competent skill. And I think the director of this movie did a really good job. That's really all I have to say about the directing. I think it was done really well. I thought it accomplished its purpose of making you feel like you were at a circus, as well as once those scenes were over, it was very competently made. The cinematography really, you know, lighting and everything is really good. And that's really all I have to say about the directing.
Okay, so yeah, this round is definitely the hardest one for me to talk about because, yeah, it, for the most part, this movie's competently directed. He did a good job. This is the guy who directed this movie, his name is Michael Gracey, and this is, he's done a lot of Broadway stuff, but this is his first feature directorial debut. So obviously, he's had a background in pretty elaborate stage productions. And yeah, he did a pretty good job overall. To me, my biggest thing is, and this might have been the stylistic choice of the cinematographer and the team and everything, but to me, everything in this movie looks a little artificial. To me, if you're at a circus, you want everything to seem as real as possible. And there's just a quality to this movie, like a sheen to this movie that just kind of, it's hard to explain. It just, to me, it all looks like artificial. It looks like it pops off the screen and is vibrant, right? Which is, you know, that's obviously not a bad thing, but it just doesn't look authentic to me. And honestly, at parts, and this movie had a decently high budget, I think. I mean, nothing too high, not $100 million or anything, but a pretty high budget. To me, the scenes that aren't at the circus scenes are the best parts. Whenever it's not at the circus, it honestly just is a little drab, in my opinion. They surprisingly use a pretty dark color palette at scenes that aren't on the music, that, you know, aren't at the circus. And you can try to say that, oh, it's because it's contrasting how the circus is larger than life and stuff. I don't think that's the case. I think they just put all their effort and attention into the scenes that aren't at the circus, and they did not put nearly as much effort into those as they did the circus scenes. So yeah, the circus scenes are good. Cinematography is pretty good, but to me, it just feels all a little artificial and fake. And just, like I said, the scenes that aren't at the circus just feel kind of cheap to me, if I'm being honest with you. I'm really not a fan. You can see where their attention was when they were making this movie, right? So anyway, that's all I have to say. I'm not too confident in this round. But
so, Luke, I haven't seen the movie. So where is their attention focused on?
I think they're, like Tyler said, is that they want to make you feel like you're at a circus.
Okay.
And they do that very well. But I just don't think that beyond that, they try to do much beyond that.
Okay.
Can I say one thing to
Yeah.
Luke?
Yeah.
I know you kind of mentioned that you didn't really want to kind of use this point against you, but you did mention that, you know, when you go to a circus, they're trying to make it as realistic as possible. You don't think the movie did a good job of, you know, keeping it realistic. I actually kind of disagree with you.
Really?
While obviously, you know, it to me, a circus is not like a magic show. Because at a magic show, they want you to be convinced by their act. You know, like they want to be realistic. They want you to believe in the magic that they do. At a circus, though, I think like a good circus is going to try to give you like kind of an air of like, you know, the unbelievable, kind of like the bombastic, the unrealistic, kind of makes you like wonder, like, whoa, how'd that happen? Like, this is so cool. Like, and I think even though I disagree with that, I thought there were like some scenes in the movie that were like amateur, I disagree with that. But like, as for your take, like, there are some parts that were like unrealistic. I kind of think that's okay. Like, I kind of think that they're kind of trying to compensate for, like, you know, the whole, like, bombastic, like, in-your-face, like, circus performance.
Okay, well, I don't agree, but I see your point.
All right, boys. That will wrap up the directing round. We're going into the acting now. It'll be kicked off by Mr. Luke Smith.
Okay. So, it's no secret that this movie has a really good cast. On paper, this cast is really good. Hugh Jackman is the bomb. We all love the guy. He's freaking Wolverine. How could you not love him? He's Wolverine, but he's also a talented performer, which is like a musical performer, which is awesome. That I actually didn't know he was in music until this movie, so that's pretty awesome, actually. But Hugh Jackman, Zendaya, Zac Efron, Michelle Williams, who I know Tyler's a big fan of, and Rebecca Ferguson. And, you know, and of course you got kind of other smaller roles like the members in the circus and everything. But I just, again, the performances in this movie are fine. The standout is obviously Hugh Jackman. He's doing a good job, like he always does. He doesn't make P.T. Barnum charismatic because I think the writing in this movie sucks, but he's trying his best, you know, darned if you don't try. And I think he did a good job. He tried with the material he was given. To me, though, the worst part of this movie, and I get it, like these songs are pre-recorded. So in the movie, they're not using the actors' real voices, obviously, like they do in Les Mis, because, you know, it is kind of different. They are different, like Tyler mentioned. But a big part of a musical film, if they're not using their real voices, is the lip syncing of the songs convincing? Because that's what they're doing. They're lip syncing. And to me, this movie has some of the least convincing lip syncing that I've ever seen in a musical film. I'm not kidding. Now, there's a song in the movie called Never Enough, which I think is just absolutely atrocious. It's the only song in the soundtrack I don't like. The vocals are too ear-splitting for me. Yeah, her voice is impressive, but just, gosh, I mean, you just want to turn it off after the 5,000th time. After the 20 millionth time she says never enough, you want to turn it off. But Rebecca Ferguson plays this singer, and this is not Rebecca Ferguson's real singing voice. They had a singer named Lauren Allred dub over it. It's her song, but Rebecca Ferguson is playing that character, so she lip-synced this other woman's singing. And I'm telling you guys, I've seen a lot of musicals, and I've seen other, you know, types of musicals where these are not these actors' singing voices. Heck, in High School Musical, and don't kill me for this, but Zac Efron's lip-syncing in High School Musical, that wasn't his singing in the first High School Musical movie. It is as it goes along, but in the first one, it's not. And I thought he did a convincing job in High School Musical. Not so much this movie. But so I've seen actors convincingly look like they are singing the song to you, even though it's not even their voice. And the scene where Rebecca Ferguson's character sings Never Enough is the worst scene in the whole movie. It is not convincing in the slightest. You don't believe that that voice is coming out of that woman. It is, I mean, it's hard to explain if you haven't seen it, but it's a fault of the actor when they can't successfully pull that off. And apart from the lip syncing, which I think is just atrocious overall, I just don't feel like there's a lot happening that's special. The actors are competent. They do a good job with what they're given, but it's just, I expect a little bit more. Like Tyler said, this is a musical. Everybody's supposed to be bombastic. If, you know, if you're into musicals, it's kind of what you look for, especially in a musical like this. It's supposed to be family friendly and fun and loud and have really catchy songs. And there's just a lack of energy in these performances, aside from Hugh Jackman and Zac Efron. I just feel like there's not a whole lot of energy going on. I feel like everybody here is kind of turning in a paycheck. Michelle Williams is dreadfully underused. She's a fantastic actress, but in this movie, some of her line delivery is just kind of off to me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if she had a cold or something while they were filming, but it just seemed a bit off to me. The acting in this movie is not horrible, but it just needed to do more for me. Broadway musicals, the acting in those are very impressive when an actor can create a lot of dramatic tension and make you care about their character through the way they perform, along with having these awesome musical numbers and, you know, showing off their pipes. But this movie just didn't have that for me. No one seemed like they were going that extra step. They let the music do the work, and they themselves did little. They didn't mess a whole lot up, but they didn't try to do anything more than that. Aside from Hugh Jackman, who I've mentioned I like in this movie, everybody else is just meh. And Michelle Williams, like I said, is just very underused and is not really that good when she's on screen. So, yeah, I mean, I know that's a hot take, and I know Tyler disagrees with me on that, but that's just how I feel. It's just a lot. It's very unremarkable. Not so much bad, but just unremarkable to me.
Look, man, I disagree.
Okay, I was waiting on you to talk, Tyler.
Yeah, disagree completely, Luke.
Okay.
I think you are being way too harsh on the, like, way too harsh. I thought, you know, first of all, it is a stellar cast, you know, Hugh Jackman, Michelle Williams, Zac Efron, Zendaya, like, all of these actors, big names, and I think they're all fantastic. And it also combines, like, Broadway actors as well, like Hila Settle, who sings the, you know, the famous This Is Me song, is a Broadway actress. I believe this is her first ever movie, and I thought she did a really good job, like, portraying a movie. And your whole criticism, like, you know, the lip singing and all this stuff, I would have never guessed, had I not just heard you say it, that the woman singing, like, Never Enough, that was not actually singing in the movie. Like, that did not even... No, honestly, I literally just watched this scene, like, knowing what you just said, and still, I thought it was acceptable, and I totally believed that it was her singing, like, even knowing that it wasn't. And, like, when I was watching the movie, didn't occur to me at all. So I think you're being very, very harsh on the lip syncing there. I did not think it was bad at all, and I thought your comparison to High School Musical was really laughable at best.
No, it was good.
It was not. And I think you put major disrespect on Zendaya. I thought she was one of the better parts of this movie. I thought her relationship with Zac Efron's character was really awesome, and I thought they put, like, really convincingly. She was one of my favorite characters. That's kind of my argument. Is that you're being way too harsh. And, you know, I thought the Broadway actors who were transitioning to film for the first time did a great job. You know, I thought the film actors who are portraying a musical for the first time did a really good job. Like, these are not, some of these actors are not, you know, the type of actor you would expect to be doing a musical. Like Hugh Jackman, I know he's big in musicals. I know he started in Les Mis, but, like, for most people in the audience, and you even said yourself, you weren't aware that he was into musicals. You know, I think it's really cool to see actors that, like, you wouldn't normally expect to do a movie like this. And I thought they did a really good job with that.
Gentlemen, anything to add before we go into the end?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Okay. I think it's Tyler's turn, closing argument.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Tyler.
All right, so to wrap everything up, I think this is a very good musical, one of the best that I personally have ever seen. It is a movie that can be enjoyed by the entire family, no matter what age is. You know, the songs are fantastic, and if you guys have not seen this movie and you've somehow managed to avoid the songs from it over the years, I assure you, when you watch it, you'll get at least one of them stuck in your head for, like, a super long time. For me, it was multiple, and it just kind of kept switching off which one was my favorite at any given moment. But I love this movie. I thought the acting was really good. I thought the songs were really good. It's just a really nice, feel-good family musical, and I would recommend it to almost anyone. And that's my closing argument.
Okay, so these closing arguments are essentially, you know, when you're writing a paper, it's funny, this whole debate is like a paper. You got the intro, then you got the three body paragraphs, and you got the end. You know, I like to write. I don't know, Tyler does too. So it's, you know, same kind of deal. And it's kind of like a restatement of my previous points. And there's nothing wrong with that to me. So that's what I'm going to do. I understand why this movie has mass appeal, because it is doing nothing new. And given the box office successes of the Disney live action remakes and other reboots and things like that, audiences don't really want much new. They just want something that they can go to and feel good and not be challenged by. And that's not for me. I see how some people could like that, but it's really not up my alley. I think the writing in this movie is atrocious. Aside from the songs are good, but I think they stand apart from this movie. And to me, that is a bad thing. And I just don't think that the songs are, they kind of tie in, but they definitely stand on their own. And like I said, that's a bad thing in my opinion. The acting is just kind of so-so, except for a couple people. The lip syncing is bad and not believable. And I don't think I'm being too harsh on that, because that's a large part of the film. And the directing in this movie, it's competent, but it's doing nothing special. This whole movie essentially is doing nothing special. It's letting the songs, which, yes, are very well written, do all the work for it. And the casting choices, they knew that these characters were underwritten, so they cast charismatic actors and actors that we like, we know and love, in these roles to get you to kind of trick the audience into liking these characters. But to me, I can't. I can't like P.T. Barnum, despite the fact that one of the most likable actors of all time plays him. I don't like the artistic licenses that this movie takes with P.T. Barnum's past and just with his life story. I do think that a movie should be made about this guy, because as bad of a person as he was, it is a very interesting story. And I think you could put some twists on it. But to portray him as a totally different type of person than he actually was in history is just rubs me the wrong way. So again, I see the appeal of this musical, and the songs are good. But it's really not for me. It is not up my alley at all. And I think if you are a film lover, that you should look at this movie as being middle of the pack. I know I hate it more than most, but critics seem to be, you know, kind of agreeing with me a little more. They didn't hate it. It was like a 53 on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. But yeah, this movie's doing nothing special and is a little offensive at parts. And I really am not a fan at all. I know Tyler disagrees with me. Man, that's okay. That's the nature of the debate. But that's my closing argument.
Okay, so I guess it's time for the moment everyone's been waiting for. I have to pick a winner. I have a winner already. I've been writing down notes on my phone as I've been listening. And I'll just go out and say, Tyler is the winner of this debate.
Wow. Yo!
Which is surprising. Before we even started this debate, I told Luke I'm not a huge musical guy, and I ended up taking the side of the guy who was defending the musical.
Yes, you did.
We'll go into each round. The opening.
I feel very confident going into this, and I feel like this is one of my better performances.
The opening round went to Tyler. Yeah, what were you gonna say, Luke? Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, Tyler. I think you're right. I think this was one of your better performances. I think, and it was one of my weaker ones, because I don't really know why. I don't really have an excuse. But anyway, Ray, go ahead.
The opening argument went to Tyler. I liked what he had to say about the songs being catchy and just you. I remember Tyler's opening argument more than I remember yours. Yours was just a little more forgettable, Luke.
Okay.
The writing also goes to Tyler.
Wow.
I couldn't not give it to Tyler after he went through the hero's journey chart. You know, like.
That's what I literally pulled up on my phone as Luke was talking, and I'm like, God, I'm going to win. I'm going to go through this entire thing.
I mean, it was a really good defense, Tyler, I'll admit.
Because I was doing it on the spot, and I was like, wonder what the hero's journey flowchart looks like. And I looked it up and I was like, I can do this.
But, and I also really liked how you like, I was waiting on someone to, because it's a musical and there are like obviously written lines in the movie, but the most important part of the musical is how the music's written. And you talked about that, Tyler. But that round, other than that, I mean, you guys definitely did argue really good back and forth about the hero's journey. Luke clapped. I mean, you were defending it really well, Tyler, with the chart and yada yada, but Luke was trying his best to clap back.
You know, he was. He really, really was.
And the third in the directing round, I'm also going to give to Tyler, but Luke, don't fret, Luke. Don't fret. You didn't get completely swept. I gave the acting and closing to you, Luke, but I'll tell you why first. I gave the directing to Tyler. Neither of you really had a lot to say in the directing. Tyler just sold me a little more on like talking about the circus scenes, and you kind of just talked about how you thought some of the scenes looked generic, and I haven't like seen the movie, so I don't really know what some of the scenes look like, but like from the trailer, I didn't think many scenes really looked generic. That's just my opinion on it. But Luke, I gave the acting to you because Tyler really focused mainly on the three big names of the movie, Zac Efron, Hugh Jackman, and Zendaya. But you chose to focus on the other people who aren't the big names because, you know, there's obviously more characters to the movie. And you kind of explained how, aside from those three, the rest of the acting is not really good. So I gave that one to you. And I also gave the closing argument to you because you're, if we're being real, Tyler didn't have much to say in the closing argument. You had a lot more to say. But it didn't matter because Tyler already had won the first three rounds. And I think he, in the back of his mind, knew that, which is why he didn't have much to say at the end. But yeah.
Wow, it's a heartbreaking loss, but one I kind of saw coming, if I'm being honest with you. So, it was fun. This snapped my like four debate win streak. So, I mean, it had to end at some point. I couldn't just keep beating y'all forever. As
you, I don't think I've still yet to beat you, Luke.
I think you've beat me one time.
Have I?
I thought you beat me. You beat me in the Infinity War versus Endgame.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Haven't you beat him before? I thought you have.
I know the last time you guys went against each other, Luke clean swept you.
Yeah, what was that? Which one was
it? It was the Lodge. Oh. No, Up was me and you, Tyler. I won that one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Up was a crazy one. I remember that.
Yeah, that one was just... That one was kind of off the walls.
Yeah.
But we've been recording for about 53 minutes. I'd say we should maybe go ahead and cut it, not do a story time, because it's been kind of long.
Yeah. Okay, I can agree with that. But we are going to go to sponsor break before we do shut it off. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode of the Cineverse Podcast. You can follow us on all of our social media at Cinebros Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, Cinebros P on Twitter. We have our own subreddit at r/Cinebros Podcast. And if you guys are not watching on YouTube, you can follow us on YouTube at Cinebros. Guys, anything else to say?
Guys, thank you as always for listening and watching. We always appreciate the views and the support. Also, of course, I have my 5-minute movie review series. Had some cool ones just come out. I recently reviewed my favorite movie of 2020, Promising Young Woman, so you can check that review out. And I've got some fun stuff coming your all's way. So thank you all for listening. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I would very much appreciate it. It is just 5-minute movie reviews with an underscore between each of those words. And yeah, that's about it. So check those videos out and make sure to subscribe to our channel. As always, thank you for watching, guys.
Peace.